But maybe we need to check ourselves in a way, because if we're comparing anyone to Brady, they lost. Like, they just lost. Right. And especially if you're talking about clutch and winning and getting things done in the fourth quarter. Like, it just, it's a completely unfair comparison.
The only guy that can ever say anything to Brady is Eli Manning, saying, hey, I met you in the Super Bowl twice and I won both.
And I got both. I got both. And Nick Foles. Like, those are the three guys, the two guys that have beat him. Eli Manning twice and Nick Foles.
Rick Foles.
Those are the only two quarterbacks who can look at Brady and say, we got you. Joining us down the Maple Toyota hotline here is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's happening, Ray?
He's sitting around, you know, listening to you guys debate this point. We've only got 2 weeks of Super Bowl talk, so.
Yeah, you know, we got a lot of content here, buddy.
Hayes brought up this crazy stat, though. Like, tell him the stat. Like, I'm still in disbelief of it.
Honestly, Noodles, I've been following this guy all day because he's been responding to people. Someone on Twitter who's a stats guy, an NFL guy, he co-hosts a podcast, and anyway, he found this stat on Aaron Rodgers, and Ross Tucker, who's a big NFL analyst, tweeted this out. Rodgers is 0-42 in his career when trailing by more than a point in the fourth quarter against a team with a winning record. So it sounds
very... That doesn't seem possible.
Doesn't seem possible. That's what we're all like, we're reading this out, and it's like, are we perpetuating some fake news, bogus stat that someone's trying to goof on? But I think it's legit. The guy's been defending it all day. People keep coming back at him with different games, and he's like, no, that team went 7-9.
It's
that
so weird.
6-10.
Because Rodgers is like the haymaker, like was a Hail Mary specialist.
Hail Mary King.
Yeah,
Hail Mary
like
King.
I don't understand that. That's so weird.
And this is, again, I love Rodgers, and I'd take him on my team any day of the week. I love him as a player, and he has won a Super Bowl, and he's going to get another MVP. But that's a stat, Ray, where you look at it, and it's, I don't know how you defend it. It's a team sport, but that's not a great look.
Well, just think of all the crappy quarterbacks that have won 5 times.
Right.
Like, you know, like that have, in that scenario, that, you know, threw a pass, a guy rumbled for 15 yards and they kicked a field goal. Right? Like, whatever. And you're like, how could that be?
Like, that, Ray, that who was your hockey version of that? Who was that one hockey player where you were like, this guy's so good, but I just, either he's not going to win or he doesn't win or he just can't figure it out?
Oh. I wondered early if Mario Lemieux was ever going to win.
Really?
He was so good, right? And, like, the first couple of years, Pittsburgh was a train wreck. Like, they were awful.
Yeah, they were.
And I'm like, as you know, we were drafted, or we were, funnily enough, up for the Canadian Hockey League Player of the Year at the same time, so I got to know him a little bit, and so I followed him really close, and I was like, man, I don't know if they're ever going to win. And then all of a sudden, you know, of course, they win twice, should have won a third time. And, you know, but he was the one that I think, I thought of early and thought, like, I wonder if he's ever going to win. Now, in Toronto, of course, it's Sundin, right? But because he was so good. And it just never happened. I mean, in the team sports stuff, it's hard to, I know we all, you know, like they never won, they couldn't do this, they couldn't push him over the top, but, you know, there's when there's so many other people involved in the success, I find it hard to hang it on one guy.
Ray, you brought up Mario, and I was talking to Steph today, and she asked me this question. Like, it's Gretzky's 60th, right? Was he 60 today or
today,
yesterday?
Yep.
Okay. So she was saying, you know, Gretzky's the greatest player that ever lived, and she said to me, she's like, do you think Gretzky's records will ever be broken? And I said, I don't think so. Obviously, Ovi McGovey's screwed now because he, you know, he's missing half seasons, two seasons in a row, and, you know, suspension and all of that. But I thought about it, and this is more for all of us. The way we evaluate players now is different than just points, because Gretzky, I think he's the greatest player who ever played. Now, there are other people that say Bobby Orr. Mario Lemieux, I think, would be in that conversation, too. That's why I brought it up, because...
Oh, for sure.
He was ridiculous in his prime, and I think injuries and cancer and all of the things that he went through. But I guess my question to everyone is, the way we evaluate players now is just not points. It's on success. It's how rounded of a player you are. Do you think there's ever a player that would have a chance to be in that same conversation, not getting 2,800 points and
considered
92.
The greatest of all time?
Exactly.
Like, is that moniker even accessible?
Exactly. Like, that's, I guess that's,
I think it should be. I don't think it's a good thing for the sport if it's not. Like, what's
okay,
the point?
But he had 2,800 points. So say somebody gets 1,500 points.
Right.
How are you going to put them in the same conversation?
But that's, I guess, and I'm just bringing it closer
to
home.
So I'm agreeing more with you, Noodles, than, like Brian said, no, maybe we should. And I'm like, but if the guy's 1,300 points short.
Right. It
doesn't make sense to me.
We had a debate earlier a couple weeks ago about Matthews and Draisaitl. Draisaitl had 30 more points than Matthews, but Matthews had some more goals and even strength and all that.
Jamie, you also added in Draisaitl was way better than Matthews.
I said that he had 30 more points than Matthews last year. I didn't say he's way better.
Maybe you're answering the question right there.
That's like my point. I'm trying to bring this up. Is like our evaluation of players and people have changed over the years, not just cut and dry this. And that comes with analytics. It comes with, you know, other things, intangibles. So I don't know
also,
if that...
Also winning. I mean, you got to give credit to Gretzky. He won 4 Cups. Maybe he'd be in a different position if he wasn't on that dynasty and he won only one. Maybe we look at him differently. I doubt it because of the points. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't think it's a... Like, I think baseball is a victim of that. Like, no one could be as great as Babe Ruth. He played 100 years ago. Like, maybe Mike Trout can be, you know, and Gretzky isn't as dated. Gretzky was playing 30 years ago. But I don't, you know, I think we need to adjust with the times. And you got to win a lot to put yourself in that position. But it's not going to be easy.
Last night I was scrolling through Twitter, and I don't know why it was there, but it was a play that Roberto Clemente, the great Pirate right fielder, made. And it was a ball that went into the corner. He picked it up off the wall. He was on the track. And this is in 1972. And he threw a bullet strike to the plate. Well, nobody's better than that. Like, in that play, Clemente had 3,000 hits and then was killed in a plane crash. Like, you could still be one of the greatest of all time, even from then, adjust for some of the analytics that can be put together for stats, but it's easier to do that baseball compared to hockey.
Right. I guess it's a reaching topic. It's just I'm wondering in, you know, our lifetime, if we're just looking at it like, you know, I had the luxury of seeing Gretzky up close and personal, playing against him and growing up watching him. But then, you know, does McDavid have a chance, even though he's never going to get 200 and what? What did Gretzky have, 212 points in a season?
215, I think, was where he topped out, 92 goals.
So that's just not going to happen in today's game.
No, it's not possible because the game has improved so much. Goaltending has improved.
But that's my point. Is that it? Like, Gretzky's the greatest player time?
I don't think it is. I don't think it should be. I mean, it should be an incredibly high mountain to reach.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't just be, well, this is my guy in this generation, so I'm going to pick it. Like,
shouldn't it be that if it is a McDavid or, you know, it could have been Crosby or whatever.
Right.
They have to be that much better than everybody else. It's not that the numbers are ever going to align, because they're not. But the simple fact was, you know, we can say the skating wasn't the same and the goalies weren't as good. Well, then why didn't somebody else score 92 goals?
Yep, that's true.
Right. Now you're
so
right.
Gretz was that much better than everybody else that he was playing against.
Right.
So that has to be the same, in my mind, the same sort of scenario to compare somebody today. Can they be in that conversation? Somebody might, sure. But, you know, Connor McDavid's got, I don't even know how many points he's got, but he's got to be that much better than everybody else for a long period of time to be in that conversation.
That's
going to be hard to do.
That's my point is, you know, it just, the argument against Gretzky is if a guy gets 1,500 points and is ridiculous, you know, Gretzky still hasn't beat by 1,300 points. Like, how do you argue that?
No,
you know,
but,
like,
but here's you're not wrong. Where you okay. might counter is with, and again, it can't happen in this era. Gretzky had 92 goals. Hull had 86 one year. It's not like Gretzky had 40 more than anyone in history. Like, there right. were guys. Bernie Nichols had 72 one year back in the 80s, I believe, early 90s.
With Gretzky in LA.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there were a lot of guys who were scoring a lot of goals.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at the most points of all time. I'm looking at it right now in a solo season. Gretzky owns the top four, and all by the age of 24. I believe McDavid is 24 right now. And he had 215, 212, 208, 205, which is crazy. And then
sorry, that's funny to me.
It's insane. And then Mario steps in to stop his streak with 199, and then back to Gretzky with 196, 183. Like, it's just every the top 15 seasons of all time. Like, Gretzky's got like 12 or 13 of them, and it's outrageous what he did. But I also think what has changed, and you guys can speak to it better than I can, just based on age, is the amount of analysis today and the urge to pick holes in players' games may not allow for that either.
Yeah, we're not doing liberos of Gretzky not backtracking.
No, Gretzky was just a god. That's it. Everyone agrees god. I'm sure we could have picked out a couple of games where we're like, that was a Pierre-Luc Dubois shift from 99. Just kind of tooting around and went for a lazy change. But now you do it, you're going to get buried on SportsCenter. You know, you're not allowed to take any shifts off in today's overanalyzed sporting world.
Ray, you could speak to this, but how many times would your back check include just basically hooking on to a guy in the neutral zone and riding back with him?
Noodles, I would look, I'm not even kidding, I would look for Brad Marsh.
Snowshoeing out there.
He was not going anywhere. You give him a little hook and he'd go, yeah, yeah. In other words, like, not just him, but like, the point was, I'm not going anywhere. Those were the guys, and your responsibility only was, if I wasn't the first guy back, which I wasn't going to be most times, my responsibility was their D-man. And so I only had to go as far as the blue line, because he wasn't going in deep.
Oh,
no chance.
God. Ray, how about when you're center ice? And you play with the couple wingers that it was a golden rule. First guy back goes down low and does the dirty work. I love the wingers that would stop at the blue line and just start looking around like a stork, like they had no idea where they were, and they would just wait for you to pass them to go down low. That drove me nuts.
They weren't even going to try. Like, I'm not going down there. It's way too hard down there. When I, late in my career, I got moved to the wing. And outside of the D running you on the wall, I was like, this is a piece of cake.
No kidding. I loved it, too. It's like, all I got to do is jump in and out of holes, get open, score the odd goal. And it's just, it was a cakewalk. It was so fun.
But, the first game I played was in the Boston Garden, and someone rolled a little donut around the wall. And the defenseman, I could hear him, like, snorting like a bull coming down the wall. I'm like, this is not going to end up well. And then the bench, get it out! Get it out!
I'm trying
to save my life here, man.
Get it out.
That's a great point that, again, wingers, you know, they always get dumped on, like, you don't do this, you don't do that.
Yeah.
It's exclusively a winger's job when some guy rings one around the boards.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you didn't get it out, you're scum. You're
soft scum. Roller,
you're
too.
You're soft, and you're not a team player. It's just outrageous.
You're so right. Like, and some of those mutant, like, can you imagine Ken Danico just pinching down, and you know that it's just a bull, and he wants you, and it's a slow roller coming to you, and you've got to absorb
contact. And if they wanted to take your head off, they'll chomp the minus for it, because it's worth it to them. It's like, your head on a platter is worth me taking a minus right now.
And your defenseman's yelling, snap out of it. Like, wake up. Get it out.
There's another part to that play, too, is when the D rolls this little softy around the boards as it's coming around. He can see the D pinching, and the guy that rolled it around the boards yells, heads up. Really?
Thank you. Thanks for that invitation from me to get crushed by this guy coming down the boards. Where do you stand on the Matthew Tkachuk has to be addressed tonight by the Maple Leafs. Do you think anything's going to happen there because he fell on Campbell a couple of nights ago?
No, I don't. I don't think so. But I mean, I guess it could be. My view. I saw Carlo's tweet. Did he fall on him on purpose? Absolutely. Did it lots. My play was to fall on the goalie. When the guy cross-checked you in front, is just kind of fall backwards, and you land on top of him, and then you say sorry right away so he doesn't paste you with his blocker, right, on the way up. Did he try to hurt him? I don't think so at all. Not even like one thought of that. But I think he was trying to jump on top of him.
Yeah. I said yesterday it's more about this kind of new image the Leafs are trying to portray, that they're tougher and they're in it together and they've got a long-term goal. I think that has more to do with it than the actual, you know,
now,
play itself.
Now, my understanding, though, Brian, is like, and just from watching the game, Noodles, you would know for sure, but didn't he hurt himself, like, kind of against the post?
Oh, yeah.
Kinda,
that's not what injured him. That's not what injured Campbell. I wonder if Simmons and or Bogosian, one of them, is like, we got to do what Edmondson did a couple nights ago.
Yeah, you know? Maybe. You know, maybe so. But if I'm Tkachuk, I mean, you don't have to accept the deal either.
No. I wouldn't.
And I wouldn't be crazy about accepting a Wayne Simmons invitation.
No, we also said yesterday, Ray, Hoosier Lucic could be an X factor too, saying, you guys want to screw around with Tkachuk, then okay, someone's getting hurt then because I'll pick who I want to deal with. That could squash the whole plan too.
I mean, like, you got to, you know, there is this, you know, Myers and Edmondson fought the other day, but if you're fighting somebody like Wayne Simmons, that could turn out bad. Like, I know he's a little older, but he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so if Tkachuk gets in a fight and Simmons lands one on him because he's better at it than Tkachuk is, well, you might end up losing one of your best guys for a long period of time. Times are different. In back when we started, that would have been something that would have had to been done. But, I think you're right that, you know, Lucic isn't out there cruising around just, you know, trying to look for apples, right?
Yeah. That wouldn't be ideal. that you know, it's one thing to be like, we're a new team and everything, then all of a sudden Lucic taps you on the shoulder and all of a sudden it's like, we're good.
But Hayes, you said this too yesterday, like, Tkachuk isn't, like, Simmons is farther down in the lineup to Tkachuk. Tkachuk's a very unique player. Like, he's a, you know, he's a top line winger. He's close to being a superstar. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's more valuable to the Flames being on the ice. But he might, you know, he's got a lot of pride. He might be a guy that says, okay, you know, you don't like what I did, I'll fight you. But then again, you know,
they need numbers, to win tonight.
Then the mutant comes over the boards, and Lucic goes, okay, well, you fought that guy. I'm going to choose who I want, too. And then
that's when a lot of guys start tying their own skate laces.
Yeah, exactly. We're good. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm not interested in this. Yeah,
it's going to be. It should be a fun game tonight. I mean, this sets up for Calgary to have a bit of a bounce back. And we were talking about this in the last hour, Ray, where I thought it was an impressive win on Sunday. Based on the circumstances, the Leafs have played a lot of games in a short period of time, flew across the country, 2 p.m. start. Kind of an impressive, you got one when maybe we didn't think you were going to get one. I think tonight would be even more telling maybe about their maturity and where they're going, because you're almost playing with house money. You know, you're walking out of Calgary 500, regardless of what happens tonight. You got your game on Sunday, and I think a lot of teams this year in particular, based on the nature of the schedule, will probably get caught night two, in part because the opposition is going to be more motivated, going to look for a bounce back. But I think mentally you might think, hey, we got one. You know, we're 500 on the road. Let's move up to Edmonton and see what happens up there. I think if the Leafs come out flying tonight and pick up a win, I think it would be telling, and I think it'd be as impressive, if not more impressive, than that win on Sunday.
Their ability to kind of scratch out and claw out a little bit of a win here a couple of times already has been kind of impressive to me. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that would have been as possible in the past. Now, it doesn't mean that they've solved all their problems and anything or everything, but that was kind of an ugly game on the weekend. The three goals they scored were, you know, lucky and all that stuff, but they did what they had to do. They had a good goaltending performance, and they're going to have to play better today because I would think Calgary, you know, 5 days off coming into that game, I think Calgary will be better too tonight. It'll be a better game to watch tonight, and Edmonton will have to, Toronto will have to climb their level higher against Calgary to try and get a second game. I think they'll have to play better to win because when they go to Edmonton, it's like the sweep or the, you know, the slate gets swept away and you start all over again with this new series. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be pretty interesting. What if you get 3 points out of here? That'd be awesome.
That's pretty good.
Go on and move it along, right? Yep. I mean, it's going to be hard to beat teams consecutively, in particular on the road, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And, you know, we keep focusing on the Canadian division, which we're going to do a lot. But St. Louis, Vegas tonight, Petrangelo back up against his old team, and that's going to be a fun game to watch. And there are some storylines down there. I was talking about this over the weekend with my dad. Lafreniere is not off to the greatest start for a rookie that was getting a lot of hype, understandably so. And I'm not writing him off or anything crazy like that, but he's kind of just easing his way into it. He's not doing
much. He's got feathers. He's got no points.
I know, but
no
the points. Hardest part, the worst thing you could have done in your opening night is face the New York Islanders, where they just put sand on the ice. Like, the Islanders are the most blanketing team I've ever seen. Like, right now, in modern day, right now, the way that they play, there is no room on the ice. Like, they are so well coached and so disciplined within their system. Like, there is no space out there whatsoever.
I happened to watch that game. I want to say the Rangers had, like, two, maybe three good chances.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing.
Yeah.
What do you do with him, Ray, if this keeps up for Lafreniere? Like, do you
There's nothing you can do. There's nowhere he can go.
Yeah.
I know. Right? You sit him down, or I don't know. That would piss him off.
Well,
Who knows?
I mean, I guess they ran into this a little bit last year with Kako. And they've, you know, you've got exciting young players with good potential, and the league might just be a little bit ahead of them at the start. I think you got to keep running them out there because you don't have other options, but sitting them out and playing them infrequently, I don't think that's the way to go either.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. It's a full slate of games again tonight. It's going to be fun, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. Leafs Calgary, and we'll go from there. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5:05.
Talk to you then, boys. Later.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom remains open by appointment only, or you can shop and buy online at MapleToyota.com to receive rates from 0%.